So today we start a new chapter. Now we are into chapter 18 and all the different aspects Sri Aurobindo is touching up, summarizing, entering into the details. And one of them is Swabhava and Swadharma. So this is page 507 of Essays on the Gita. And that becomes the chapter, 20th chapter of part 2 of the book. So, basically this chapter raises an important question. It doesn't raise it like a question, but basically we have the soul and we have nature. It's important for practical purposes. Ultimately all is one is okay. But the fact is there is in us an immortal element which comes from the divine. And there is in us something which is in flux, nature. We are one thing in the morning, we are another thing in the afternoon, another thing evening, night. So nature is what is moving. And the whole question is there something stable within this movement or not? So the spiritual answer is there is. Material science doesn't know, but logically there should be. I mean, what is it that space is expanding into? One could go on, infinitely on this issue. So soul is there. The Gita doesn't go deeply into the individual soul. It touches para prakriti jiva bhuta. But it focuses on ourselves as a totality. So when we look at ourselves as a totality, we have at least, if we look closely, two natures. So there is a nature which is driven by all the flux and flow of life. Somebody says something, I react. There are pressures from home. There are pressures from government, there are pressures of life and we react to that. So there is a nature which is driven by what is called as market forces, but we can use the word world forces. So for example, one believes that one must earn a lot of money. Why? Because that's what everybody does. So one gets into that. But the question is there something which is more true, intrinsic and deeper to this? If we closely see, we will see there is. One doesn't need to read the book. One discovered that normally one is driven by all this world play, but there is something in us which is intrinsically, we may say, me, myself, needing to express. This is there. Now humanity is becoming quite conscious, at least the youngsters. They want to their work should be an expression of who they are, which is very beautiful. And places like Auroville and Ashram, the good thing is it allows you that opportunity. Outside there is a problem because money is a challenge. Whereas in Auroville and Ashram, by default, you can to an extent find something which is your own true expression. At least that was the purpose. That's why the mother used the word free progress, progress guided by the soul. Now, of course, here also people may take it like, I want to be close to the seats of power. I want to be in something which is gives me, even people can start business and all only for earning money, and that's a different thing. But basically it allows you an opportunity. It's a window that opens. In ashram, definitely it opens a window. So what is it that I can call as my true expression? Is there something like that or it's an illusion? Because if there is something like that, that would become a connecting point between the individual soul and nature. Because this will be unique to an extent. So that is so, which is self, bhava, mode of being. And so dharma. Dharma is the law of being. And we can understand if there is, let us say, a quarrel. So a Brahmin, Brahminical knowledge-based person will try to understand why there is quarrel. And a warrior kind of person will jump into the quarrel. He will immediately take sides and want to fight. A Vaishya person will see what are the stakes involved in the quarrel. He will not jump. He will see how does it benefit me or how does it benefit others, and he'll act according to that. And a Shudra type person, which is where it will come to all the four Jati Varna, we will come to that. So he will just simply, which side is he in, he will listen to that side. He doesn't have his own viewpoint or opinion. Whoever is his salaried master, he will be with that person. So here comes that touchy question, which nowadays is a big issue, national issue. It has become, it's about, is there a truth behind what was called as Varna Vyavastha? Varna Vyavastha is not caste. Unfortunately, now everything has got messy. So it is called caste system. Caste is Jati. And Swadharma is about Varna. Varna is something which is your unique expression. Jati is like, there are tribes which grow up in a certain place. They have certain work which they have taken from heredity. So that's a Jati. Jati is a group of tribes which are in different places. Lot of confusion has come around this. Like scheduled tribes. Jati is actually a tribe. So each tribe, each community has its own norms. So we say, oh, he belongs to this Jati. He has his way of life, outer way of life. But Varna is your soul type. So there is a truth of Varna which exists regardless of anything outer. And this truth exists for a very simple reason. Everything in our evolutionary curve is not finished in one life. It is actually impossible. Because you need so many experiences and you grow from one level to other level because human beings are inherently complex. And because in human beings, not just the physical body, but the vital and the mind has developed, and behind it a secret soul. So all this requires a few lifetimes or many lifetimes of evolutionary growth. So where does this growth will begin from? Very simple, logical. The growth will start with, we are conscious of the body and the physical world. So that will be the first kind of humanity, first layer, which is conscious of the physical world and all that it provides. This is the first kind of humanity. Then comes another layer which now wants to explore a little more. Like there is a child who becomes aware of the immediate physical surrounding, and then the child grows up. What does he want to do? He starts going. He wants to go out. He wants to explore. And as he goes to another house, he gets a toy. And then his friend comes, he gives another toy. So there is an exchange and interchange, and a child becomes aware of that. Then as the child grows up, again still there is a vital strong in him. His life energy is developing. The ego self is developing. Now he begins to take sides. And he believes now in justice, judgment, or who is with me, who is not with me. Either you are with or you are against. There is no middle path. So that's the third layer. And then the fourth layer is where he begins to think, understand that what is this life, what is the law behind everything, what is the principle behind everything. And once one has gone through all this, then he's ready for going beyond. So these are the four basic types which have been described, and there is a truth behind them. I was very surprised when I used to think it is only in India that we have the caste system. But then I discovered that this is everywhere. I was reading a book on preventive and social medicine. So I discovered that there are the professionals, there are the administrative and political persons. They didn't use the word warriors. Then there are the businessmen and tradesmen, industry. And then there are the workers and the laborers. Now, this was known not only in India, but everywhere. In India, we developed it into a big system. And like all things which you make a very complex system, it collapses at some point of time. So originally, it was meant that you see what you are really meant for in very simple words. And your job should be, your work should be ideally an expression of what your Swadharma is. Because then you will progress. It's meant for you. It's what nature has prepared you for. It's your soul type. But if you don't do it in tune with it and go only after material success. So there is a famous sloka in the Gita which says, Swadharmo nidhanam shreya, paradharmo bhayavaha. So that's why you see the warrior type looked for war. Abhimanyu says, I want to fight. Same story we have now, this movie has come, no? Ikkis, where a young boy who is 19-year-old, 20-year-old, he says, I want to fight. He has not even finished his course. And he goes to the battle and actually he fights against impossible odds. He is told you need not fight, but he is keen on fighting the battle and he sacrifices his life in a very famous tank battle, which is till date remembered because it's an amazing thing. Because he is, by his swadharma, he is a warrior type. If you are true to your swadharma, then you are upgraded. So because if you understand the rebirth, logic of rebirth is not that soul is coming and going meaninglessly. Soul is evolving through these experiences. So if one has lived a life according to your inmost deepest truth, then you are ready for the next life. So this was the whole idea. It was an evolutionary process. Man starts purely by being conscious of the physical world and the outer self of the body. And that's a Shudra. Then comes, he enters into a law of deeper interchange which exists in this world. He becomes a Vaishya. And then he begins to be aware of more, yet deeper, higher, that there is a truth which has to express in the world. I have to take sides, this side or that side. He takes a stand. He is a Kshatriya. And then there is the person who wants to understand the deeper principles. And then beyond all this is the spiritual man. So it was not meant for spiritual man. It was to prepare him for the final spiritual evolution. That's why in the Gita it closes with Sarvadharman Parityajya. But there is Swadharma before Sarvadharman Parityajya. And that is the whole logic of the four order of society, which we see. They are spiritual truth. So in the mother, Sri Aurobindo speaks of Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati. This is the fourfold division of works in creation, which is going on all the time. If you pick up anything, you take an atom or a galaxy, there is a knowledge which has built it. So you can, tap into the knowledge. What is the knowledge which is God? There is in it a tremendous power. You can, take out that power through various means. Power in space, power in this. Then there is within it something which is linking all these things together. So you can utilize that power like a Kshatriya to slay, or you can utilize this power for exchange, for transaction, everything. And there is, of course, a most material aspect of everything which you can either admire, understand, the outer forces that operate. So these are everywhere. They are cosmic principles actually. But now they are used for purely political purposes. So, they have to go. So Sri Krishna in the Gita says, I have the one who has established Chaturvarnaya. So this is a difficult line for modern mind. I myself had this big difficulty understanding this. Because I said, everything else is beautiful. Why Sri Krishna is encouraging casteism? Because that's an age, no? We all grew up with that. No, it's not good. Why is he encouraging casteism? It's only after reading Sri Aurobindo that I discovered its real sense. So he's not encouraging casteism. So Sri Aurobindo described there are three aspects of it, and we can add a fourth one. So there is a social and outward aspect. That is gone, destroyed. You cannot recreate that because of various reasons. There was admixture, dharma glani and all that has taken place. Over a period of time, there is nothing like a pure to type. There was a time when people tried to preserve it. But there is nothing like today that somebody who is, doing this job is necessarily belongs. And this is there in Upanishadic story. One of the person who is a realized man is a cart owner, Revaka. And even in modern times, Sant Ravidas, he is a shoemaker. So all this we have to understand that this is to be seen in terms of a relative truth. So it is broken today. So there is a social and outer aspect. Then there is a cultural aspect. So cultural aspect also is broken. Because now you can't say, that a function is taking place where all the Brahmin priests are invoking, and only certain people can go. They will sit in front, some will sit behind, it's gone. Shobindu himself took a dig at it. He said, you can do, when Nirodha said, I have a boil inside the nostril, what should I do? He said, you do this mantra. So after one day he says, sir, I did the mantra, it didn't help. So he said, oh, I forgot to tell you, you have to do it in the presence of 4 Brahmins who are not pot-bellied, who are free from all sex thoughts. So he put in. So where is the Brahmin actually? True Brahmin. Brahmins, if you see according to the Smriti, the Brahmin had 62 or 64 rules which he had to follow. Brahmin could never charge money. So the society and the state had to sponsor him. This was the idea. Brahmin could not say, I am taking a course, I want money. And you are not a Brahmin, you are a Vaishya. Because you cannot sell knowledge. And that's the idea why the mother had no transaction of money in the center of education. She said, because knowledge was never sold in India. Till date they have maintained it. So there is no money transaction. Because Brahminism is about knowledge. Knowledge cannot be sold. You cannot put a price tag to knowledge. Whereas for Shudra, there were only 2 rules. For example, a Brahmin could not marry a second time. He was supposed to have ek patni vrat. A Kshatriya could marry number of times. A Shudra may marry, not marry, have all kinds of things he's allowed. Because self-control is not expected of him. His task was, whatever work is given, you should do it well. And since it was not static, it was understood that in one lifetime you can move up or down the ladder. Several examples of that. And over lifetimes you are anyways progressing. So the system worked well. But over a period of time, especially after the invasions, it's all got mixed up. So it has to be broken. By encouraging it, either by reservation or not, it's a wrong way of going about. Because this system has been broken. Its truth will always remain. So there is the socio-cultural side. Third is the spiritual side. Now, Aurobindo says, this is the only thing we must concern ourselves with. The spiritual side is a truth which belongs to the evolutionary process. You cannot destroy it. So human beings necessarily move the ladder like that. It's an inner truth. And that's why a evolved human being, the new creation, will not be any of this. He will have all the 4. Aurobindo hints in the mother. He says, an illumined disciple of truth, a warrior, and a servant. All these at the end of first chapter of the mother he brings in. So the new creation will embody all these things together, because they build our total personality, the physical, vital, mental, and everything. And this spiritual truth is derived from the Purushukta of the Vedas. This is the background. So each one, when we are struggling in the lower nature, we should feel for our own swabhava and swadharma and act accordingly. But having said that, for a spiritual man, especially Aurobindo's yoga, it starts where the Gita ends. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Abandon all dharmas and take refuge in me alone. So we have the famous story where Rishabh Chandji was given the task of managing the furniture department. He is an intellectual. He would fall into a Brahmin. So when mother gave the work, the first work which was given to him was to kill the bugs. So first he wrote a very nice letter. Oh mother, I am so full of joy, everything. Then he got immediately an assignment. You have to kill the bugs. To kill the bugs, you have to put hot water. They will come out. You have to use something. So he kept that letter and wrote to Aurobindo. Mother does not know. I am a Jain and I am not supposed to kill any of the of these creatures. So, some other work can be given to me. And Aurobindo wrote back, whatever work the mother gives you is the work meant for your progress. You see, it starts from, Aurobindo's yoga starts from sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. But yet, this truth is there which operates in nature and we have to understand it. So that's what this chapter is about, chapter 20. Having said that, Aurobindo starts by revealing to us, this chapter may require 2 classes, fine. So basically he starts by saying that between the three gunas, tamogun, Shudra is largely tamogun. He cannot, you can't make him understand deep, profound concepts. You give him work, he will give, he'll do work. He'll do it well. I mean, he's supposed to do it well, a true Shudra. But you give him concepts and all this, he's not ready for that. So it starts with the Shudrahood. For a Shudra, spiritual life is very difficult because he is dealing with purely physical matter. If you tell him, go every day, offer some flowers, put some nice incense, he will do it. But you tell him that sit inside and contemplate on the divine who is all, it's very difficult. So that's how you see the division between external religion and internal spiritual quest began. So that's where the Shudra comes in. And then comes the Vaishya, whose relation with God is transactional. I am doing this, what will I get? So again with the Vaishyas, there was no real... Real spirituality begins with the Kshatriya and the Brahmin. So that's why in ancient times this distinction was kept. Because Vaishya and Shudra could connect with God, but in a religious way. Artharthi and Arth. Arth, anybody could connect. But the real spirituality began with seekers. Even a Kshatriya could qualify. So the Gita has given this distinction. Tamogun Pradhan, Shudra. Then Rajogun, there are two aspects. One is where you are just engaged in the larger exchange, give and take, which is Vaishya, and the larger Kshatriya type, and the mental, where you become a Brahminical person. This was the whole idea, that through the three layers, then you are ready for the complete spiritual evolution, when all this drops away. There is no jati or no varna of the liberated person. That's why one of the person has said, jat na poocho sadhu ki, pooch lijiye gyan. Don't ask the caste of a sadhu, ask his wisdom. But because Gita is a practical scripture, it is saying what we should cultivate first, satgun. Satgun turns towards a Brahmanical temperament, seeking for knowledge, anything. So it starts with, it is then by liberating development of the soul out of this lower nature of the triple gunas into the supreme divine nature beyond the three gunas that we can best arrive at spiritual perfection and freedom. And these lines are so important because so many people nowadays, they say there is no talk of individual soul in the Gita. This is not true at all. The Gita is a path for the individual soul to get free. That's how it is describing. And this again can best be brought about by an anterior development of the predominance of the highest sattvic quality to a point at which sattva also is overpassed, mounts beyond its own limitations and breaks up into a supreme freedom, absolute light, serene power of the conscious spirit in which there is no determination by conflicting gunas. So that's what we see with Arjuna. Arjuna is sattva rajogun. So he is a warrior, but he is very sattvic. He doesn't want to, you know, engage in killing his own brothers. So like a typical sattvic man, he says, I am withdrawing. It is better to be a beggar. That's what he says. It is better to be a mendicant and a beggar than to enjoy a kingdom based on killing my own brothers. That's what he says. And then Sri Krishna teaches the Gita so that he can rise even from this sattvic state to a still higher state. So when we enter into spiritual perfection, spiritual freedom, then this doesn't apply. There is no caste in that, or caste is the wrong word, but none of this varna applies because you are surrendered to the divine. A loftiest ideality or standard of dharma, a pursuit of the right law for natural existence, is transformed into a free, assured, self-existent perfection. So a few lines below on this same page, page 507. The sattvic doer becomes the jiva in contact with the source, united with the Purushottama. He is no longer the personal doer of the act, but a spiritual channel of the works of the transcendent and universal spirit. So this, from sattva, it is easy to pass into that. Okay. Now we can read a little bit more about what this is about. So here we have on page 508, the new passage. The Gita has laid some stress on this point. What is this point? The variation of individual nature with regard to spiritual discipline. You can't ask everybody to do the same thing. That's the way mind works. Everybody is doing the same meditation. It's silly and actually stupid. There are letters where mother has told someone, you will only do work, you don't need meditation. I have seen that letter. Original letter. You don't need meditation. You just do work. There are others to whom she said, meditate. For example, Pranabda's brother. He was told by the mother, you get up at 1:30. He used to get up at 1:30 because the mother gave him the time to meditate from 2 o'clock till 5, 6, whatever. So he used to do that. But to Dada, a very different work is given. So it's not like a standardized perfection which nowadays we have, which is absolutely purely the mind's way of doing things, that everybody learns some meditation technique, everybody fits into the same standard just because you can pay up for a course. But that's not how the divine operates. So how does the divine operate? That's what we are learning here. At the very start, it has spoken of the nature, rule and function of the Kshatriya as Arjun's own law of action, Swadharma. Swadharma is your law of action. It has proceeded to lay it down with a striking emphasis that one's own nature, rule, function should be observed and followed. Even if defective, it is better than the well-performed rule of another's nature. So here comes Swadharmo Nidhanam Shreya Pardharmo Bhyava. Whole ashram is built like that. You see Sri Aurobindo writing different letters to different people. Somebody he will ask, do this. Somebody will say, you do that. And he absolutely respected each one's unique, like Dara. Dara would just sit and meditate. He hardly had any work. And he would be meditating with both his hands holding that mosquito repellent. And in his feet also mosquito repellent. There was recently I had been to this place in Hisar. So somebody was telling me, showed the letter. So this person had stayed in the ashram till 1950s. Then he came away because he came as a young man. Then a lot of pressure from the family. And they asked him to get married. He spoke to the mother that they are putting a lot of pressure. And mother said, you go and get married. Obviously the mother had seen that for him what is better. So it's not like a standard rule. Somebody else he would say don't. So he was telling me this very interesting story. Rather his son was telling me. And he showed me the letter also. That once someone wrote to the mother. That mother, I don't want to come every day to the playground and do all this exercise. I want to sit and meditate. Read Sri Aurobindo and meditate. Mother said, yes, yes, you should do that. So he thought that this is a very good opportunity. Let me also write. So he also wrote to the mother. So mother said, no, 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 no. You must go every day to the playground and work there. How do you understand? That's where she took into account individual natures. That for him, going to playground, working is important. For somebody else, you don't have to do that. You have to sit, read, meditate. There are people to whom this is the only work which was given. Chotnarayan Sharma, for example. He wrote to the mother, I want to join the ashram and do some work. So mother sent him a reply through Nolnida. Tell him, he is reading, writing on Sri Aurobindo. He is reading, writing and speaking something on Sri Aurobindo. He can continue with that. He was never given any other work. So when he would come here, he would just join the dining room for doing some wiping. But even he was given this work. But today you can't speak like that. But this is how she respected or knew What is the swadharma of a person? So, because the Gita says, death in one's own law of nature is better for a man than victory in an alien movement. Swadharmo nidhanam shreya, par dharmo bhayavaha. To follow the law of another's nature is dangerous to the soul. So, dharma refers to the law of your nature. Each nature is unique. And that's what we see in the ashram, its development. So, few lines below. What comes out of the being is the right and healthful thing, the authentic movement, not what is imposed on in from outside or laid on it by life's compulsions or the mind's error. Imagine, what would Gandhiji have advised to Napoleon? Don't do what you are doing. You are, you know, killing people. Shobhinda says he saw in Napoleon the hand of God moving through Europe. He was an instrument of Kali. Strangely, anyway, that's a long story. Given a little talk on that. But because each one's inner nature, but to Shakespeare, he had to write. So each one's uniqueness of nature. What comes out is the authentic movement. This swadharma is of four general kinds formulated outwardly in the action of the four orders of the old Indian social culture, Chaturvarnya. That system corresponds, says the Gita, to a divine law. It was created by me according to the divisions of the gunas and works. So it is guna karma. It had nothing to do with your birth. Heredity was later on used by some people to strengthen it. But heredity becomes a problem also because, you know, so much mixture took place subsequently that heredity has lost its meaning. But it was used in very ancient times. I'm very surprised nowadays there is so much discourse going on, you know, all this. Nobody is quoting Sri Aurobindo. He is the only one who has clarified the Chaturvarna in the best possible way, in the most detailed way. The Swadharma is of four general kinds. That system corresponds, says the Gita, to a divine law. It was created by me. Created from the beginning by the master of existence. In other words, there are four distinct orders of the active nature. Or four fundamental types of the soul in nature, Swabhava. So true law of nature is Dharma, Swadharma, and type, distinct soul type. That's Swabhava. Both are about the soul. And the work and proper function of each human being corresponds to his type of nature. This is now finally explained in precise detail. The works of Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, says the Gita, divided according to the qualities. So it's very interesting, just to quickly go through them. So what was a Brahmin? Brahmin is not about wearing a dhoti. It's not about putting a tilak. It's not about doing the puja. So who is a Brahmin? Now look at it. Calm, self-control, ascesis, purity, long-suffering, candor, knowledge, acceptance of spiritual truth are the work of the Brahmin, born of his swabhava. Very difficult. And this is the Brahmin. Brahmin has nothing to do with your surname or with anything which is external. He's a seeker after knowledge, and these are conditions required if you want to seek knowledge. You can't be biased and take sides and yet seek knowledge. Seeker after knowledge has to be detached. He has to be more inward. He has to learn to have equanimity. Learn to observe things without getting into personal side-taking. Then you become a seeker of knowledge. What about Kshatriya? Heroism, high spirit, resolution, ability, not fleeing in the battle, giving lordship. The temperament of the ruler and leader are the natural work of the Kshatriya. And there are people for whom giving, dying in a battle are like play. In army I have met so many people who were, you know, ready and willing. They enjoyed this idea. In fact, when shelling would go on, they would be very happy. They would be having chai pakoda, waiting. And then just for practice, they have to do artillery fire, they would enjoy. It's because this is the order created in the Purushukta, that the feet, the Shudra comes from the belly, and the thighs, the Vaishya comes from the chest and the arms, the Kshatriya comes, and from the head there comes the Brahmin. So in the same one divine, there is all these four aspects. Okay, this is the Kshatriya. Agriculture, cattle keeping, trade, inclusive of the labor of the craftsman and the artisan, are the natural work of the Vaishya. Now you see, there comes a problem. Labor, including the labor and the craftsman who is doing for money transaction, is part of Vaishya. This recently, this debate had come. Whether you include them or you don't include them. Now if you go by the Gita, they are included as part of the Vaishya. So Shudri is what we see in communism. It has been highly, the workers and the proletariat. All work of the character of service falls within the natural function of the Shudra. So this is the basic thing. Now Sri Aurobindo goes into great detail, and ultimately, so before we reach page 510, after 4 or 5 lines, but a work not naturally one's own, even though it may be well performed, even though it may look better from the outside, when judged by an external and mechanical standard, or may lead to more success in life, is still inferior as a means of subjective growth, precisely because it has an external motive and a mechanical impulsion. So he makes it very clear. It should flow from your soul. It should be an expression of who you are. Not because you want to do it. Maybe a Brahmin may fight a battle with mind, or a Kshatriya may engage in works of knowledge, but it's not something which comes naturally from within him. So that's where we have to study our own nature. One's own natural work is better, even if it looks from some other point of view defective. And that is one of the problems of making everything flat. Like now, you know, all the children, they must get a degree, they must, you know, get into a job. So it becomes a little difficult to go strictly by this. But mother did not take that into consideration. So in the ashram school, famous example is when Taradi, she asked mother, what should I do? I don't take interest in studying. Actually, her father complained. She doesn't take interest in studying. So mother asked, what do you like doing? She said, I love photography. Okay, give her a camera and make her do photography. And see, she has developed along those lines in such a wonderful way. But you ask her, such a wonderful, you know, work she has done. But she would say, see, talk and all, I don't understand. That's not my cup of tea. She can fight, she can create all that is there in her. She can work indefatigably, but don't ask me to talk or give talks. That's her forte. And how beautifully she has been a mother's worker in that. I mean, such wonderful work. So this is how we have to take into account. This is what is called is Niyatam Karma in the Gita. Svabhava Niyatam Karma. So we should, the person should take up a job which flows from inside as an expression of who the person is within. Okay. Then few lines below, next paragraph. So what is the Gita trying to say? These verses and the earlier pronouncements of the Gita on the same subject have been seized upon in current controversies. Looks like Sri Aurobindo is speaking of 2 days back. In current controversies on the caste question, and interpreted by some as a sanction of the present system, used by others as a denial of the hereditary basis of caste. In point of fact, the verses in the Gita have no bearing on the existing caste system. It collapses. But you see, politicians keep it alive because of vote, both ways. But the Gita is not talking about it at all. What is the Gita trying to say? That Sri Aurobindo will. Because that is a very different thing from the ancient social ideal of Chaturvarnya. The four clear-cut orders of the Aryan community, and in no way corresponds with the description of the Gita. So one thing is very clear. What we are following today by surname, by birth. It has nothing to do with the ancient truth. It should go away. And often I ask people, I said, please tell me the surname of any of these great beings in Dwapar Yuga. I'll be very happy. Tell me which, you know, all these great characters. What is Krishna's surname? He is not Yadav. He is a Kula. What is Satyabhama's surname? What is Pandava's? What is Arjun's surname? He is not Arjun Singh. He is Arjun. That's, and all through. So it's not based on birth and surname. It was something you have to discover inside. And then live your life in tune with that Swadharma. Later on it became a job. So we'll not again look into it. I mean read all that detail because... Okay, so page 511. This is a new passage. The ancient system of the four orders had a triple aspect. It took a social and economic, a cultural and a spiritual appearance. On the economic side, it recognized four functions of the social man in the community. So you see, this is the problem nowadays when we interpret about Karna's story and all this. You are completely mistaken. Actually, Karna is son of a Sut. Sut is quite high up. He is not somebody who is a rejected lot. So, on the economic side, it recognized four functions of the social man in the community. The religious and intellectual, so that kind of a function is Brahminical. The political, the economic and the servile functions. There are thus four kinds of work. The work of religious ministration, letters, learning and knowledge. The work of government, politics, administration and war. The work of production, wealth making and exchange. The work of hard labor and service. An endeavor was made to found and stabilize the whole arrangement of society on the partition of these four functions among four clearly marked classes. And each of them, because they all come from Purush Shukta, so they were regarded as the same divine who is impelling. And because the rebirth and evolutionary system was very well understood, so it was like what you are in this life, you will be something else. You will evolve in another life and so on. And he says very clearly, this system was not peculiar to India, but was with certain differences the dominating feature of a stage of social evolution in other ancient or medieval societies. I mean, I can say this that while doing my MBBS, while reading preventive and social medicine, I read about the four classes which were in the West. So they just mentioned that there are the people who are like, you know, intellectuals. And the knowledge givers. Then the second is politics and administration. And the third was the businessman and trader. The fourth are the workers. So he said, this is exactly the same thing. But, and see, the inner truth will continue. Because the inner part will remain. But based on birth, heredity, all that is going to go away. And should go away. Because then, you know, it and they all come from the one divine entity. So this was the fourfold order which had been created. Okay, one line which is interesting is, the old system everywhere broke down and gave place to a more fluid order, or as in India, to a confused and complex social rigidity and economic immobility, degenerating towards a chaos of caste. So this is what happened in India. Okay, now page 513. Third line from above. The Gita's line is in fact an intellectual rendering of the well-known symbol of the Vedic Purushukta. We have already spoken about it. It describes the one Purusha and all the four emerging out of him. It is he who becomes the Shudra, he becomes the Vaishya, the Kshatriya and the Brahmin. But what then should be the natural basis and form of practice of these functions? The practical basis in ancient times came to be the hereditary principle. So this is where it started. A man's social function and position were no doubt determined originally, as they are still in freer, less closely ordered communities, by environment, occasion, birth and capacity. But as they are set in a more fixed stratification, his rank came practically to be regulated by birth mainly or alone, and in the later system of caste, birth came to be the sole rule of status. This is how the degeneration took place. But otherwise, if you see, it had this for a long time. So if you are born in a Brahmin family, automatically certain things you imbibed, maybe genetically, maybe by the pressure of the environment, because certain things, like I know I am born in a Brahmin family, to tell lies was considered as a sin. To, you know, not have self-control was regarded as something pretty bad. So, these things you imbibed. And in a way, they used the heredity principle. But later on, when heredity principle itself became predominant, just because you are a Pandey or a Sharma, you are someone special. Now that, and it is also true that Brahmins started using or misusing the title or the position that the society had given them. So they started doing all kinds of things and yet gain the, expect the respect from the society. I have seen all this happen. So I used to have this big problem that, you know, why should somebody respect just because somebody is a priest? And just because somebody has this title. So this was a wave going on all around. So it had to be broken. So the son of a Brahmin is always a Brahmin in status, though he may have nothing of the typical Brahmin qualities. So this is the present thing which has, it has degenerated to. Or character. No intellectual training or spiritual experience or religious worth or knowledge. No connection whatever with the right function of his class. No Brahminhood in his work and no Brahminhood in his nature. So this is the degeneration which has taken place. Therefore, Sri Krishna has broken it. Its spiritual truth will remain, but not based on heredity. This was an inevitable evolution because the external signs are the only ones which are easily and conveniently determinable, and birth was the most handy and manageable in an increasingly mechanized, complex and conventional social order. So, this is what we have to remember. The external based order is gone. Any effort to revive it by whatever means, including reservation, will create chaos. You have to understand this is broken. So, now it should be economically deprived people, you give them, you know, better opportunities. That's it. But if you try to impose that, you know, the person, because, you know, he has this surname, this caste, therefore he should be given a job, this is going contrary to the inner truth, because inner truth remains. The spiritual side remains, but the external side is broken. And that's why we see very naturally recent whatever happened. And the beauty is the judgment of the Supreme Court. It clearly pointed out where the problem is. And said, you cannot do it. Make it an economic basis. And I think things will go in that direction. Page 514, the para begins with and. And from this emphasis on the inner truth and not on the outer form arises the spiritual significance and power which the Gita assigns to the following of the Swadharma. That is the really important bearing of the passage. So it is not about your surname, not about your ancestors. Each one, what is your inner being, its calling? Nowadays, children use this word in something very beautiful. What's your calling? There have been nice movies on this. Films, that what's your true calling? You must follow that. Don't go by what society expects of you. Don't go by. So it's not like by birth. It's not about social expectations. It's about your true calling. And if we do that, then we are aligned to the truth of the Gita, that swadharmo nidhanam shreya paradharma bhayavaha. Too much has been made of its connection with the outer social order, as if the object of the Gita were to support that for its own sake, or to justify it by a religio-philosophical theory. In fact, it lays very little stress on the external rule and a very great stress on the eternal law, which the Varna system attempted to put into regulated outward practice. And we see in the time of Mahabharata, when the Gita is being given, Dronacharya is a Brahmin. And obviously his son Ashwatthama is a Brahmin. But they are warriors. Karna is born as a Sutputra, but he is a Kshatriya through and through. So all this we see very clearly during the time of Mahabharata. Also the system is not so rigid. But subsequently it became rigid. Now it got broken down. Actually nobody follows according to... Life has changed. But if you try to bring it back by surname, it is dangerous. Because it doesn't exist. You are trying to, you know, fix something which... Nowadays people are not, abandoning the surname, which is very nice. Now they are like... My own son, I named him Arya Yuyutsu. So the name was Yuyutsu. So they said in passport we required two names because it's convenient. So I asked him, do you want the surname? He said, no. I said, glad. So I just named him Arya Yuyutsu. So he doesn't have a surname technically. Two names, because that's how the passport authority is. And this is becoming more and more common, because that surname-based identity is not true anymore. It came at some point of time when the heredity principle became very active. But now it is gone. You may be a Brahmin inside and yet your surname may be anything. And vice versa. So last three lines. So he brings back the Gita's context. What the Gita is concerned with is not the validity of the Aryan social order now abolished or in a state of delinquence. If that were all, its principle of the Swabhava and Sudharma would have no permanent truth and value. But the relation of a man's outward life to his inward being, the evolution of his action from his soul and inner law of nature. This is what is interesting. Now page 515, five or six lines below. The language reads a little curiously to our ear. Calm, self-control. Now he comes back to the qualities. How do you recognize a Brahmin? Calm, self-control, ascesis, purity, long-suffering, candor, knowledge, acceptance and practice of spiritual truth would not ordinarily be described as a man's function, work or life occupation. So he's giving us the evidence. This is a Brahmin. This has nothing to do with his work, nothing to do with heredity, nothing to do with life function. It's your temperament, which is your innate temperament. Yet this is precisely what the Gita means and says, that these things, their development, their expression in conduct, their power to cast into form the law of the sattvic nature are the real work of the Brahmin. So now this is how we see that Brahmin or the sattvic nature at its acme is the best preparation for spiritual life. Because then you are already doing, practicing some of the things which will be required eventually. Learning, religious ministration and the other outer functions are only its most suitable field. A favorable means of this inner development. So if a Brahmin goes into battle, what he'll do? He will plan, he will strategize. He will understand the deeper dynamics of the war. That's how he is. So this is how he describes and goes on to describe. Page 516. As has been said elsewhere, not alone the Brahmin with his ideal of spirituality, ethical purity and knowledge, and the Kshatriya with his ideal of nobility, chivalry and high characteristic. Because see, this automatically makes you little less selfish by the fact that a Kshatriya wants to sacrifice his life, by the fact that a Brahmin wants to seek greater knowledge despite all the challenges. It sets you apart. But the wealth-seeking Vaishya, the toil-imprisoned Shudra, woman with her narrow, circumscribed and subject life, the very outcast, being born from a womb of sin, Papa Yonihi, can by this road rise at once toward the highest inner progress, greatness and spiritual freedom, towards perfection, toward the liberation and fulfillment of the divine element in the human being. So this was not a hard fixed system. The Brahmins cannot, the Shudra cannot do this. No, that's what the Gita also says. That somebody, however outcast he may be, however born from the womb of sin, that's how he describes. Even if he remembered the divine, he should be taken as the highest of my bhaktas. And mother put it in a very interesting statement, because many people carried this even in the ashram. So we'll be surprised. Even to Champaklalji, once mother says that you are still carrying those elements of Brahminism in you. Both Amrita and Champaklalji, she said that. So Champaklalji says, I tried to look inside various, little bit that separation different. And then she wrote a very interesting line to Huta. All my children are Brahmins. Why? Because if you are a seeker of knowledge, of truth, by its nature you are a Brahmin. That's the whole secret. It doesn't matter what's your surname and what you have. So that's how she put it. Three propositions suggest themselves. Okay, this we'll read later, but we'll just read quickly. So there are three propositions, even at the first view, and may be taken as implicit in all that the Gita says. First, all action must be determined from within, because each man has in him something his own, some characteristic principle and inborn power of his nature. That is the efficient power of the spirit. So there are people who are very beautiful when they serve. It's their inner forte. They don't care what you call them. There are others who are seekers of knowledge, and they would love to, gain knowledge by whatever means. There are those with warrior natures. So you have to look into that. Next, there are broadly four types of nature, each with its characteristic function and ideal rule of work and character. And the type indicates the man's proper field and should trace for him his just circular function in his outer social existence. That's why many times when people went to the mother, she would give them a certain work and the person couldn't understand why. And the mother would say, no, this is the work meant for you. One of them was Jayanti Bhai, Mani Ben's brother. He was telling me that when he came, now comes from a business family. So he thought that probably mother will ask me to manage some store or something. Mother said, you teach French in the school. He said, I don't know French. Mother said, doesn't matter, you learn. He was one of the most loved French teacher in the ashram school. Most loved. He learned, he expressed, because that was his innate nature. Many people didn't understand that. In fact, one place he says, why she didn't make Ravindraji and Dada trustee. He said, they would have only given work to everybody. Nothing else they would have seen. Work. So to each one she was giving according to the inner truth. And finally, whatever work a man does, if done according to the law of his being, the truth of his nature, can be turned Godwards and made an effective means of spiritual liberation and perfection. So it doesn't matter what work you are doing, even a Shudra working with hands and physical work, Vaishya dealing with business things, a Kshatriya who is dealing with, war of ideas and protection, defense, all this, and the man who is seeking for knowledge and learning, all of them by their service to the divine can get liberated. So it's not hierarchy in the sense that this is higher, this is lower, this is lower. Each one can, by doing something which is they are meant to do and doing it for the divine, can gain liberation. The term used in the scriptures about this is sadharma mukti, sadharma gati. If you are doing according to the law of your nature, you don't have to worry. Do it well, do it as an offering to the divine. But if you are doing for some other reason, this will be better because it will give me some perks, then you are deviating from your swadharma, and that's what the Gita says. Paradharmo bhayavaha. You are not meant to do this. Nature doesn't want you to do this. Somebody else, it works very well. So we'll stop here and come back next time.
Can I ask a
question? Yeah.
Everything on this chapter is okay. I understand very well. What is questioning in my mind is the origin of Swabhava and Prabhava.
Yes.
Which I saw that it's created by the master himself.
Yes, so basically it is, as I passingly mentioned, there is a Purush Sukta. So it's from the Rig Veda, and the Purush Sukta describes the cosmic being. This is the transcendent who is beyond, but the cosmic being as a Purusha, as a being with two hands, two feet and a head. Let's put it like that. And from the feet, there is the Shudra element, the service. The thighs and the belly is the Vaishya. The element in nature comes from that. And from the chest and the arms emerge the Kshatriya. And from the head emerge the Brahmin. Now basically it means that everything has its own place in the cosmos. And that's what I was saying, that in any element, from atom to galaxies and a human being, all of us have all these elements inside. But there is something which predominates. Like if you give a Shudra a work, he will do it well faithfully. If you give the same work to a Brahmin, he will try to understand the principle behind it. That's the difference. So, and that difference is important because, you know, your true soul nature. Now, why this has been created? Because of the evolutionary nature of the soul. So it starts with man becomes conscious of the physical world, its laws and processes.
But who decided this emanation to each one?
That is the soul journey, because it one lifetime we start as a Shudra, let's put it like that. We are conscious only of the physical. Then as we evolve, maybe a couple of lives, we grow into the Vaishya, we enter into larger transactions of life. As we evolve still further, that's not enough that I am going from here to there. I want to take sides, I want to battle for a cause. So you become a Kshatriya. And then the same soul, no other soul, it's an evolutionary bridge, let's put it like that, which has been created.
Can we understand that in the beginning, all of us, we were Shudra?
Yes, 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 yes.
With our will, we become or not?
Yes, it's an evolutionary process, absolutely. We are all Shudras, only aware of the physical world. And you see this getting repeated in the child. And beauty is, since you mentioned about who decided. So of course, it's the divine who has created an evolutionary passage. Because in one life, it's very difficult to leap to knowledge and then you have to cross beyond. So it is still only till you are a human being. The moment you go beyond a human being, then you all this collapses. You can do any of these things. And each one will do the same thing based on his inner nature. You see, you give a work to somebody who is a Kshatriya. He will start the work. But very soon he will see who is the people who is not working, who is doing the right thing, who is doing the wrong thing. He will end up fighting because he's a Kshatriya. You can't help it. So you give a Brahmin a work, he will try to understand the deeper principles to improve upon it, to do it better. You give a Vaishya the work, he will say, why you are getting into all this? Do the work which is given. After all, at the end of the day, you are the one who is benefiting from it. A Shudra will say, why think all this? This is a work, let me do it well. So this is the evolutionary process. It described very beautifully in Savitri in book 1, canto 4, The Secret Knowledge. Toward the end, this is the world sailor on the flow of time. So all the four stages of the soul, when it is first, Shivinda doesn't use the word about Varna or anything there. But what is described as the evolutionary process of the soul is precisely these four types. If you read it, it's very clear.
Actually, I read. And every time when I got answer and I am full with this, still remain in me the why of everything, the why.
Evolution. Ah, that's a different question.
No, but when, if I understand this, all this will be clear for me.
Yeah, that we will take up. Maybe next time. That is a different question. The why of creation, though it's very simply, it is described as ekoham bahushyam. Now, for us caught in this, it sounds very strange because he says one wanted to become many. Yeah. Now, he wanted to become many, but all of us have been caught in the trap. That's the urge for delight to manifest itself in countless ways. The logic is delight, divine is infinite. So, delight of oneness wants to express in multiple ways the delight of infinity. And I can take a small example in our everyday life. If you ask any human being, what is it that you take joy in? Somebody may say, I like to read. Somebody will say, I like to take a stroll. Now, there are people who want to do all of these things, as many ways. So, the multiplication of the delight of oneness into delight of multiplicity is the origin. So, original impulse is very good. But in the middle, there is a difficult passage. It's like, I want to become an army officer. I'm very excited. Oh, one day I will get those labels and I'll become an army officer. The moment you enter into the school, NDA, or any defense academy, your life becomes very tough. So, what we are seeing is the middle passage. Origin is delight, end is delight. Multiplication of delight. But in the middle, there is pleasure, pain, suffering. So, the question comes. The moment you have the origin, there is no question. Delight multiplying itself. At the end, delight manifesting itself. So, there is no problem. But in the middle, there is a problem. There is no doubt. That's why the question comes. Why? Even everything is wonderful, then question. But also the question will come only to a Brahmin, seeker of knowledge. Kshatriya will never have a question. He will say, I don't care. I have to fight a battle. That's it. So.
I have a friend, not in a spiritual.